Blog Talk Radio.
Of your life. I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anything But Ordinary Radio, and if you didn't read the description, then you're probably wondering why Mike isn't talking right now.
Uh-oh. All good.
No, but we do have the absolutely beautiful, wonderful, splendiferous Maria DG Delvani is with us tonight.
I'm sitting in the middle of an airport, and I don't want to be too loud, so I'm going to go to the other side of the terminal. How is everybody?
Hey, wonderful.
Marvelous.
Oh, very good, Jed. Yeah.
Well, it's been an extraordinary couple of days, gentlemen, and I'm really glad to be here with you guys, and I know Michael is off. And, wow, Harry, how are you? Why don't you tell us about tonight's show?
Oh, well, I'm actually fantastic. And the other thing is I got to introduce the one and only Mr. Jed Ray. Hello, Jed.
Hoo-hoo! What are we doing?
Well, I have no idea.
We're playing it by ear tonight, gentlemen. I don't have access to see how our chat room is doing. Who is there? Everybody in the chat room, hello.
Hello. The only one in there right now is just Jed and I. Yeah, just me and Jed.
Okay, we'll play. It's all good. Well, gentlemen, I may have two callers calling in. Is Leandra on? Because I want to share with you what I've been doing. Can I tell you?
Yep, please. I filled in. Go ahead.
I'm so excited because I have been working and talking and communicating with an amazing woman who's been on the show twice already, Miss Leandra Kruger, and nicknamed Pepper. Everybody knows her from Facebook by the name of Pepper. And it was 5 years ago on Valentine's Day. Actually, I'm going to let her. Is she online? Did I send you a telephone number? I'm not sure if Pepper is online.
Do you know the area code, Maria?
I don't. It's in Texas. I think it starts with a 5, but I'm not sure.
We have one caller in, but nobody raising their hand, so.
Okay.
Harry, do you want to go off on a private? And Maria and I will
I am going to go. Yeah, I'm going to go into the screening room here.
So anyway,
I'll do that.
She's been on
Maria
the show a
can
couple
tell
times.
The story.
Yeah, she's been on the show a couple times. It was 5 years ago on Valentine's Day that she went in to have a medical procedure after the birth of her fifth child. And her OBGYN, and for those who do not know what an OBGYN is, it's a female doctor. It's where women go and get their annual checkup. And the doctor that delivers babies. And she went in for a medical procedure, and he drugged and raped her and videotaped it during the procedure. So she would wake up a couple times during the procedure, and she was brave enough after to call the police. And the doctor is now in prison, and there are 23 years of victims that have been silenced by this doctor. So she is a voice for these women, and wow, Jed, I am just an honor to finally, after all this time, meet her face-to-face with two out of five of her children, and it was amazing. And then today, that was yesterday, she went to the Capitol in Austin, in Texas, which is her home state, to speak out and use the doctor's name for the first time. So it was a really big deal. Mm-hmm. And then today we got to meet Angela Rose, who is the CEO of CAVE, And she is a spectacular woman, and hopefully she'll be calling in too. Do you remember?
Oh, good.
Do you remember Pepper though, Jen?
Yes, I do.
Amazing.
And you know the tragedy here is that this represents all of us as human spirits. It's not just a man. It's not just a woman. It's a spirit of our greater soul that violated another spirit, and it's. You know, it just breaks my heart to hear these stories, but I'm glad that you were able to spend some time with her after working with her for so many years. And then also, too, at the same time, this was good for her. I mean, this was a rebirthing and a cleansing for her. She's able to get up on potentially a national stage and tell the story, and, you know, that's pretty powerful. It's really powerful.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. And she was said that there were two separate, now I am going to talk about what happened. So there were two victims there, Jed, and it's funny because I have such a heart and a soul for victims, okay? However, my passion isn't about the victim. My passion is about the Leandras, and my passion is about the Angela Roses. And making sure that demographic of a woman has everything they need to make their dream come true. But there was two quote-unquote victims at the Capitol yesterday, or on Valentine's Day. And
good.
What bothered me the most, though, Jed, Leandra drove 4 hours. I traveled from California to Texas for this moment, and the local Austin news absolutely had nothing about Leandra, only their local victim from Austin. And that really, really irritated me because, wow. Now, I understand the demographics and that it was Austin. However, Austin is the capital of Texas, and her story happened in Texas, and it's a national story. So I'm a little ticked off at the local news, but that's okay because God has a bigger plan, and her voice is never going to be silenced. And so it hit Washington, D.C. today, and the incredible team that God has blessed me with, Kari, who is our booking agent for and all of our ambassadors, she is on it, Jed, and I am so thankful for the team.
Woo-hoo!
That is going to be, so she is
going
to raise her voice and make it known. So how are you? Tell me about your...
Now,
what's going on over there?
Brr. The weather changed here in the last couple of days, and it's gotten cold, starting to snow again. I'm ready for spring and summer to come right now. Up in the Northwest, you know, it's been really, really beautiful the last couple, 3 or 4 weeks, and all of a sudden, Saturday afternoon, the weather decided to take a turn for the nasty. So... yuck.
Not
otherwise,
good.
I'm marvelous. Life is stupendous, and we're growing. I just spent the early afternoon, late afternoon, and early evening proctoring a class at the university. I'm going to be doing some videos on some of the instructors. And it was a very fascinating class. These students are going to be probably counselors, school counselors, and they were talking about social norms and some of the content that some of the young children that they'll be dealing with, kids, will be going through. So it was a great class. I had a great opportunity to listen to some of these young students talk about their experiences.
Sorry.
No, that's
that?
All right.
Sounds
no,
like
no.
The airport.
We know you're in an airport. Is Harry back?
Oh, I've been back. I'm just sitting here listening to you guys. I was about to go paging Maria DiGiovanni to the United States. Paging Maria DiGiovanni to the United States.
That's funny.
I've been here listening in and whatnot. And, Maria, I don't know if you remember or not, but I actually have a background in law enforcement.
Yeah,
I spent
we talked
12
about
years, that, Eric. Yeah, you know, doing criminal investigations for the Army and stuff like that. And, you know, people would ask me a lot of times, they'd say, well, why did you get out of law enforcement? And I said, you know, one of the biggest reasons I got out of it is I never could replace the loss for the victim. No matter what I did, even if I, you know, I got to, you know, found the perpetrator, you know, sent them to the prosecutor, they got put in jail, I could never replace the loss. And that was one thing that just really wore on me from that standpoint is, you know, my heart went out to these victims, and again, no matter what I did, there was still that loss there. Whether it was a loss of innocence or a loss of security or whatever it was. And that was the tough part. That was the tough part of what I did.
Right. One of the things that we talked about, or that was talked about at the Capitol in Texas on Monday, was they want to raise funds and they want to put all these bad guys in jail. However, if you're going to raise all the money and make sure you get all these bad guys in jail, you have to invest that much money in the victim. Just focusing on the bad guy, it's not balancing out, because our victims, if you know anything about victims, once a victim owes a victim owes a victim until they stop. So we become very vulnerable. I mean, I was a victim as a child, and it just kept going until I finally said, okay, I'm done, okay? So if we do not invest in our victim services, then putting all the bad guys in jail, you know, is only half the battle. We have to heal these people that are being victims. So.
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult for law enforcement. Being married to law enforcement for 18 years, I totally understand it. And you guys feel hopeless. But, wow, it's an interesting dynamic. But the level of women that I'm dealing with, you men, I cannot wait if they get the opportunity to call in, because actually both of them are traveling right now. So it's pretty interesting.
I can feel your excitement through the phone. This is awesome.
These are extraordinary women. I mean, if you looked up at D'Angelo Rose's story, she was kidnapped by a man who had murdered a 15-year-old girl. And he did ridiculous things with Angela. And then he drove her back and dropped her off. It's the most craziest thing. And her story is amazing. And what she started with Tabe is absolutely phenomenal. So I'm really happy that we're all locking arms and joining voices. Because part of the problem with victims and survivors is they all tend to do their own thing and they don't work together. And one of the things I'm really happy about with these women is we're all strong enough to leave the ego at the door and work and raise the volume together. So, woohoo, these are extraordinary women. I love them.
Well, you know what's really interesting, Maria, about what you just said? I heard a statistic tonight in this class that I was proctoring that I was actually, I too spent 22 years as a probation officer in a municipal court. So I got to see a little bit, not the felony crimes so much as misdemeanor, but a statistic that really, really, really blew me away this evening, that one in four women will be sexually advanced upon by the time they're 18 of not of their own will. Now, I'm not saying raped. I'm just saying that they will be put in a situation that they do not have either, number one, control of, number two, that it's not of their own free will, number three is that it's advancements that they feel that they either have to because they're afraid, or because they are in that they may be viewed upon as being something less than desirable. And so I just found that so scary.
Here's the problem with that statistic. It's back in 1990. Okay, there's been nothing done to give us updated statistics. How crazy is that? So it's actually more than one in four. In fact, it's more closer to one in three, or even one in two. It's ridiculous. But here's the other thing that no one is really talking about, and more men are starting to come out and speak about this. because it's one in six little boys under the age of 18 that go through the same thing. One in six.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm really excited that there are more male survivors that are coming out going, wow, this is a problem.
Boy, the chat room's filling up. All kinds of chatter going on. It's pretty awesome.
Everybody. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you know, it's interesting about what both of you said is that there's always been an ongoing, what's the word I want, I guess, challenge of getting people to report. You know, anytime you see those statistics, you want to take that down another 25%, kind of like you were saying, Maria, because right off the bat, I mean, there's just people who just flat out never report for various and sundry reasons. And there's that silent, like, kind of like you're talking about too, Marie, that there's that, almost that silent minority of victims out there that just don't use their voice, don't step forward, don't, you know, for whatever reason, report. And that's one of the frustrating things for law enforcement as well, is that, you know, we at the time, you know, law enforcement can only do what they know about.
It's really frustrating. Leandra just texted me, and she said that she's not where there's a signal to call. So as soon as she gets to a place where she can call, she's on her way from Austin to San Angelo, Texas. So, oh, by the way, has anybody ever been to Texas?
Yeah.
I have,
I have, too.
It's very flat.
It is very flat.
This whole state is flat. I mean, really.
Except for the hill country,
California.
San Antonio.
San Antonio Mountains.
They call those hills.
Yeah, they're just hills. They don't have any mountains in Texas.
We call them bumps. We call them bumps from Oregon.
Speed bumps.
Them are hills. Them are bumps.
Uh-huh.
Maria, did you say that she was heading to San Angelo?
She is driving from Austin to San Angelo, Texas. And it's about a 4-hour drive.
Is that where she's from? San Angelo?
Yeah, well, actually, she was born and raised in California and moved after her third child was born to San Angelo. And like I said, she has five. And oh, my gosh, there's not one little wrinkle on that woman. She looks way too young. But with five kids, oh my gosh, it's spectacular to see her with her kids, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, she'll find some signal there pretty soon.
I'm sure.
Excuse me. I had a hiccup. Got some dead air there.
San Angelo, there's an Air Force base there. My brother was stationed there for a while. I actually went down there, and I drove down to Texas with him to help him move and buy a house in San Angelo while he was there. So,
Very cool.
Well,
what other extraordinary things are we going to talk about, Thelma?
I don't know, because Michael said, you know, basically the thing he's talking about, the topic of what it means to truly be extraordinary. And, you know, Maria, I think I want you to take that to start with, because you are such an extraordinary woman and all the things you're doing. What does it mean to truly be extraordinary?
Okay, say that again. What does it mean to be extraordinary?
What it means to truly be extraordinary.
Truly be extraordinary. I think when you can finally learn to walk in your own skin, understanding who, what, when, where, how, why, and what purpose you have in life, I think everybody has that opportunity to get to that place, and it's extraordinary to be there. So that's what it means to me. And they're calling me to board my plane, gentlemen. So I'm going to wait till the last minute, but they're calling. The flight leaves at 8:45 my time. So that's, what time is it there now?
It is 10:19 Eastern.
Okay, so give me another 10 minutes and they'll probably kill me, but that's okay. So I think that's what it is. I think anybody who gets to that place where you really, truly feel comfortable walking in your own skin, and it's taken me 45 years to finally get there. And it is an extraordinary place to be because you have absolutely nothing to prove. And when you get to a place in your life where you have nothing to prove, it's an extraordinary place to live. Mm. I highly recommend it.
Way well said.
Oh, yeah, it's a very good point. And as a matter of fact, I was looking up the, you know, the definition, the dictionary definition of extraordinary, and simply beyond what is usual, ordinary, regular, or established. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right, Maria. When you get to the point in your life where you don't feel like you have to prove yourself to anybody else, when you can love yourself unconditionally, first and foremost, when you don't need people to complete you, but you want to be with them because you love them, I think you're living extraordinary, you know, an extraordinary life because it's outside the norm. And, you know, I've been searching for quite a while. I started when I was about 12 years old, really speaking and looking and, you know, trying to find me and who I was. And once I stepped into that and not concerned myself with what other people thought, not concerned myself with anything other than what was I doing to be the true me, the authentic me, it's also very freeing. It's a very freeing feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Did
you get a call, gentlemen, from an Angela Rose? Is there a number on? Because she was going to call now.
I have a 312 area code with her hand up. Let me go check.
312. Grab her. Yeah, grab her.
Well, I don't know. Okay, area code 312, you're on the air.
Hello, hi, Maria. Angela. This is Angela Rose from PAVE, Promoting Awareness Victim Empowerment.
Hello, my beautiful friend. First, can I tell you what an honor, after how many years, five and a half years, that we've kind of known each other, but not really. It was a pleasure and an honor and such a privilege to meet you today, Angela. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet with me and Leandra. And, wow, I would like you to tell the audience, because I'm going to have to board the airplane soon, all about who you are, what you are, your story, and all about PAVE. So promote it and go.
Great. Well, thanks again, Maria. It was an honor and privilege to meet you as well. So my name is Angela Rose, and I am the founder and executive director of PAVE, which is Promoting Awareness Victim Empowerment. And PAVE is a multinational grassroots nonprofit that is rooted in shattering the silence of sexual violence. We know that these crimes, sexual assault, happens to so many people, but it's really hard to talk about. There's such a shame and a silence that's associated with these crimes, so we're really working to promote awareness on these issues and empower victims to become not only survivors, but thrivers as well, to take their experience and to help other people. And we do that by using art. We have various different art projects that we use. We do prevention based education, awareness campaigns, as well as some policy work. And we actually just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. I founded it 10 years ago, and our initiatives have been implemented in almost 50 cities and in 3 countries. And for me, why this subject is important is I kind of call myself an accidental activist, where when I was 17, I was kidnapped in broad daylight from a shopping mall parking lot, and the man who kidnapped me was on parole for murder. And I was really surprised and re-traumatized when I went to report the crime, and the detective that responded to the case didn't believe me and accused me of lying, and I felt so re-traumatized by the system that we put so much pressure to finally, days later, for them to put 2 new detectives on the case, and they wound up catching this man. You know, he had bound my hands behind my back and taped my eyes shut, and even though my eyes were concealed, I could still see to either side when I was abducted, and it was a real conscious decision for me in that car to say to myself, if I get out of this alive, he's not getting away with it. And so I memorized details about his face, you know, details about the route that we were going. And they caught him because when I sat down with a new detective, one that was Switzerland a couple days after. They basically did a sketch of his face, and it was so accurate that someone recognized him. And that's how they were able to bring him into custody. But the inspiring part of the story was I got together with his previous victims, including the family of the girl that he had killed. And we changed laws in Illinois, got a petition signed. And all along the journey, everybody had a story. You know, friends of my family, old high school teachers. So many people would say to me that they, too, had been assaulted, but it was usually by somebody that they knew and trusted. And so I spend my time traveling across the country sharing my experience. But even though mine was with a stranger and with a weapon, I educate communities on how it's so often somebody that you know and trust. And oftentimes a weapon is not used. It's, you know, words as a weapon or alcohol, things that you might not think of, or a candy bar for childhood sexual abuse. You don't think of these things as weapons. So that's my mission, is to shatter the silence that's around sexual violence and to really bring this into the forefront. And we're doing a national walk on April 30th. Our website is shatteringthesilence.org.
Gentlemen,
wow, what an amazing story. Maria, are you still with us or are you shut off?
Actually, I am. I'm walking through the gate. They're going to take my boarding pass right now.
Okay.
Isn't this great? Live radio.
We'll take... Yeah, that's right. This is cool. We'll take good care of her while you you travel safe back. You stay on as long as you can.
I'm going to stay on as long as I can, but isn't she amazing, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I just wanted to add that we have an affiliate program that we have for different organizations that are already established, you know, for example, rape crisis centers or domestic violence shelters, that we're really collaboratively working with lots of different people across the country to really work at furthering the national movement to shatter the silence. You know, I look at the breast cancer movement and different social changes that have come really through working together and with collaboration. So that's one thing that we've always been focused on as part of our mission.
One of the things before you got on live with us was explaining to everybody that it's amazing when you come from a nonprofit environment and most of the nonprofits don't want to work together, don't want to collaborate. And thank you so much for being the type of woman that doesn't have a problem and we check our egos at the door, and because we are going to raise the volume and if we join together doing it. So thank you so much for doing that. But I have a question for you. What keeps you motivated when you're tired and you just don't feel like doing this anymore? What keeps you motivated personally to continue on?
Well, that is actually twofold. That's a great question, Maria. One is the fact that every time I speak, I could be exhausted and about to fall over. And there's, you know, typically a line of people that want to share their experience with me and to say that, you know, they've never told anybody. And so that really inspires me and keeps me motivated. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it's really, for me, my faith. You know, for me, being found in this person's car completely powerless was my spiritual awakening. And for me, it's so important to focus on helping people with a well-being, empowered life, you know, that kind of mind, body, and soul connection. And so that's one of the driving forces behind my work, is to help people live an empowered life where it doesn't have to be the fact that they were abused or assaulted, that experience doesn't have to define you, when oftentimes people feel like it does. And so you see that cycle of violence. And so for me, just, you know, helping people to see beyond the trauma is something else that really helps to drive me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm boarding the plane, gentlemen. So why don't you guys take this on, and I'll give you a call right back in 2 minutes.
Okay.
All righty. Thanks, Maria.
I love this technology. It's great. You know, I really am very blessed to be a part of your story. When I talked to Maria yesterday, she hopped out of the Capitol chamber while you were there testifying and talking, and it dawned on me that, you know, we need to go. The story that Maria shared just briefly before you came on about the local environment is not as, unfortunately, it did not seem as receptive for the victims that this perpetrator, this, well, I'll just call him sick individual, involved himself with in the Austin area and why they did not turn out. Can you talk a little bit more about the feeling or the why is this event so either humiliating or so painful that no one wants to talk about it, especially after it's been identified, the man's in prison. You would think that there would be more of a of an openness for someone to come forth and talk about what happened.
Well, unfortunately in our society there is such a stigma still attached to sexual assault, you know, victims and survivors. And even for me personally, you know, my best friend after I was assaulted stopped talking to me. It's very difficult for people to engage in this issue because of all of these different, you know, stigmas that are attached. And so one thing that I found is that we really need to work on creating a dialogue, even with our families. I can't tell you how many times even young girls that were, you know, maybe 7, 8, or 9 when they were assaulted went to their mom and said, you know, Mom, Dad was in my room again last night. Like, this doesn't feel right to me, knowing that this was wrong. And the mom turns around and says, no, it wasn't. Like, it's so much easier to deny that something like this is going on in your community, in your home, than it is to really deal with it. And that's a real reality that we're dealing with the nonprofit page that I run, because we need to get families and both men and women to engage in this issue. This is not a women's issue. This is a community issue, and it's really a public health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate getting an opportunity to talk about this. Unfortunately, I actually have to run as well. I'm multitasking here this evening. I'm traveling. I'm in Austin, Texas. I live in D.C., so I've been sort of multitasking. But I really appreciate the time, and I'd like to give my website one more time. It's shatteringthesilence.org. Yeah, shatteringthesilence.org. My personal website is angelaroseinfo.com. And I would love for people to sign up for PAVE's action alerts and our newsletters through the Join Now tab on shatteringthesilence.org. So thank you very much.
Cool.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Angela. And one last question before you go, real quick. We were wondering,
Sure. Other
than what you mentioned, how best can the listeners of this show, because people listen to it live, but they also listen to the archives, how can they best help you and your organization?
Well, there's a couple of ways. That's a great question. Thank you. One is to educate themselves. Like, we have a whole section on our website where we partnered with America's Most Wanted on what to do if someone discloses to you, you know, so just to become educated on the issue. We really want people to sign up for our newsletters, for our action alerts, to support us with their wallets. We are growing a lot, and we are in need of funding for our programs. One of the most popular programs that we do is a prevention-based education art workshop where we get into at-risk youth. You know, we get into high schools. We're working on really preventing these crimes before they, you know, it's important to get to the victims afterwards, but it's also very crucially important to work on the prevention side.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so support PAVE with your wallet, get involved. If you are involved in an existing organization like a Rape Crisis Center, partner with us, become a PAVE affiliate. Some people might want to start a PAVE chapter. We give people tangible tools and organizing kits on how to make a difference in their community. And that's something that has really always excited me about grassroots activism. You know, we, for example, a couple years ago, we developed a campaign where we rallied over 45 cities in 3 business days, where people rallied all over the country. CNN covered it, Today Show, Time Magazine, People Magazine, and it was really a beautiful experience to see so many communities just igniting with passion to create change, positive change. So just, you know, keep in contact with us and visit our website, and I would say that's it. So thank you guys very much.
Hey, thank
am
you. I love Angela shirts. Those are cool. I have to get one of those.
There you go.
Went over to her site. It's a great site. Way to go, Angela.
It is a great site.
All right. Well, have a great. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Angela.
Are you guys there?
We've been listening to yeah, Maria.
Can you
Angela,
hear me now?
Go.
You there?
Angela? Or who's that? Yeah. Maria?
Yes.
It's Maria.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maria's back. Angela, have
to
go, Maria.
I heard because I was listening.
Okay.
So I'm sorry I didn't get to say goodbye to her. I'm sitting in the
yeah.
back of the airplane trying to be as quiet as I can, but I don't know how good it's going to be. Anyway, gentlemen, is she amazing? Is she amazing or what?
Yes,
she is.
Yeah. Has Leander called in? Do we know?
No.
Okay, no
problem.
Yeah, I really want you guys to talk to her, but wow, yeah, she's pretty spectacular, Angela. And I'm like I said, I'm honored and blessed to have been able to finally meet her. They can't get through. Try calling twice.
I'll tell her to call again. it's amazing what we're doing. Oh, Lordy. It's all good.
It's all good.
That's the demographic of a woman that I am just so blessed to be able to call friends and coworkers and just, wow, these are amazing women. They've gone through incredible things, and I can't wait for Leandra to call so you guys can hear her exciting story about this week.
Well, and that exemplifies the whole nature of this show, extraordinary. That's the whole point of who you and Michael are and who all of your guests are. So we're honored. I know Harry and I are privileged to be here and to represent the Anything But Ordinary show. So
yeah, Michael took a much needed break. So
yeah,
it's good. It's our anniversary of 1 year though, huh?
Yeah! Oh, happy birthday!
It is. Anything
it's
but
our
ordinary.
Birthday. It's all good. Do we get another call in or no?
Nope, nobody else has called in
okay.
yet.
She must not be able to get in. So it's all that flat area in Texas that has nothing. Oh, they're calling me.
Yeah, they're telling Maria in the back of the boat, please turn off your phone. We cannot move the plane until you turn off your phone.
Yes, and we don't want Maria to be taken out of handcuffs because she's insisting on staying on the air.
No, you can't go in the bathroom. You cannot lock yourself in the bathroom.
I know. We're not going to go smoke in the bathroom. We're going to go do live radio in the bathroom.
I tell you what, that'd be a first for Anything But Ordinary Radio.
Exactly. Oh, she just said I can be on my cell phone for a few more minutes.
Oh, well, there you go.
You tell her that you're on a radio show. It's your hosting.
I should start interviewing people on the airplane, right?
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I think I'd freak people out.
Ask them what it truly means to be extraordinary. Go ahead, Maria.
Yeah, what does it mean to be extraordinary? Yeah, I should go run to the front and see if he'll answer that for me. Actually, you know what, gentlemen? I have never, ever flown Southwest Airlines. I have never seen a more kickback. Oops, now it's the captain. Listen. Never thought Anything But Ordinary would be flying across the country with me.
It's
all funny.
It's the first. Yeah.
John Wayne. Okay, I'm going to mute you. Hold on.
Not muting.
Okay, he's done.
Oh, wow. Well.
It's all good. So, and it didn't work. She said she can't call in because it didn't work. It is Texas. It's that flat area in Texas. So, oh well, that's okay. We'll have her on another time, and we'll do fun, extraordinary things with her next time. So,
yeah.
So, what are you guys doing that's extraordinary? What do you think, Harry? Is extraordinary.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, like we were talking about earlier, about being, you know, just comfortable in your own skin and that type of thing. But I think anybody that's willing to step outside of the normal everyday routine to make a difference in the world is doing something. And there's so many people out there doing that. There's, you know, the people that we know, the Marianne Williamsons and the Deepak Chopras of the world. And then, of course, you know, we actually are making a conscious effort through our radio shows, through Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil. Phil and I, every Monday night, do our best to bring, you know, the most positive people we can and spread positivity around the world. Tuesday nights, we have Anything But Ordinary Radio with Maria, you, and Michael. You know, doing a lot of the same things, really spreading that positivity. And then you have Jed coming in with, you know, the success curve on Wednesday.
Sorry, I kind of interrupt you, gentlemen. Everybody, have a wonderful evening. Everybody in the chat room, the live radio has to go flying in the air now, okay?
Goodbye, dear.
If we have any questions from our chat room, please make sure that we get all those questions. And all the people that love and care about me in the chat room. Is Dawn in the chat room tonight? I'll get a cab. I don't have a ride home from the airport.
Yep.
Okay,
yes,
you guys, I have to go hang out.
She'll be there.
A wonderful evening, and God
bless.
I'll talk
to you
guys later.
Love you, Maria.
Okay. I can wait till they, like, throw me off the plane. But
no, don't do that.
We don't want to do that. No.
Okay, you guys have a wonderful night. Bye, audience. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Why don't you continue with what you were saying? That was a great question, and I'm really glad that she segued that way. Dawn is going to pick her up. Thank you, Dawn. We love you, dear.
Yes, very much so.
Why don't you finish, Harry, with what you were sharing? I think that that's a good segue to move into the last few minutes of the show.
Sure. Well, the thing about it is, like I was saying, you know, the shows that we're doing, you know, with the success curve and Marvelous Mondays and Anything But Ordinary Radio, being a part of a group that I'm a part of, another wonderful way that I'm doing what I can to, you know, promote positivity and love around the world. And then you have things like the Advancing Your Universe Conference, Jed, that you, myself, Michael, you know, Phil and Tanoa and who am I missing? Danielle and Peggy and our latest Tamara Schilling are all doing to, you know, bring people together for a weekend of discovery. And I think that the real key to being extraordinary is discovery. And there was something in the chat that I saw too, I think Dawn put in there. She put extraordinary equals you can't give out to others lest you're in touch with your authentic self. But being sensitive to others and having feelers alive to those around you. That's wonderful, Dawn. Okay. So, you know, that's what I had on that right now. Jed, what you got to add to it?
Well, you know, I'll add this, that, you know, we're all placed here in this universe for a very, very specific reason. And the key is identifying who we are and what that reason is. And in 99.9% of my belief, this is my belief, 99.9999% of the time, maybe it's 100% of the time, when you identify who it is you are and you identify what your mission is, then it is intended to be of use and altruism for those about you. Whatever that might be, it might be just as small, a very small, simple shop owner that owns a small five and dime grocery store, whatever, that lives his or her life with great passion to help one another, to help their customers. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. I'm in the process of setting up a monthly show in the month of April with the young lady that we had on this show 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. The young lady that is clothing in the world. And that entire month of April is about influencers and change agents.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be the huge, monstrous international change agent. You can be a change agent of one person. You can be a change agent of two people or a half a dozen. It's all about your heart. It's all about who you are being and how that represents itself to the people that you're in touch with and in contact with. So I think of it even as simple as a kind word as to as big as, creating foundations and doing the things that Angela was doing and that Maria has done and that we all do. I mean, those of us on this show really do step up to the plate and offer our lives to help other people.
Well, you made an excellent point, though, Jeb, is that everybody has the opportunity and the ability to be extraordinary in some way,
yep.
shape, or form.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be a huge thing. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening in and you have a story to share of somebody in your community or yourself that you want to tell the world on this show, on Anything But Ordinary Radio, about what's going on and share these stories, we'd love to have you call in. The call-in number is 347-857-3760. So if you're listening, you want to call in, please do. Raise your hand, share a story, because I know Jed and I could fill the airtime here, but we certainly would love to hear from you. So if you feel it...
Yeah, I don't want to hear myself talk. Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
If you're feeling it, make the call.
Come on.
Make the call. But that's one thing too. Who you were talking about, Jed, was Mallory Brown.
Thank you, Mallory. Go ahead.
WorldClothesline.com. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. It was interesting. I was so, and here was the thing that got me about Mallory. This was the thing that tugged at my heart. And I've been working on my heart chakra, and it's pretty wide open. But I'll tell you what, she cracked that thing upside down and sideways for a young woman. We've been talking about events that have occurred to women on this show tonight. When she shared her story, the first thing that came to mind was, oh my God. This woman went beyond the boundaries of personal comfort, went beyond the comfort zone boundary. She put herself at maximum risk for the benefit of clothing people. That, in my eyes, is worth billions. That was the most amazing thing for me to hear. Well, I needed to hear what she had to say. And so, yeah, Mallory's going to spend the whole month of April with me. We're going to talk about several different change agents. But I'm reading a book called The Influencer. I don't know if you've ever read that, Harry, or anybody else read it. I would highly recommend the book. It's called The Influencer. I'll go get the I can't remember the author. But anyway, yeah, pretty amazing story.
Well, yeah, we're actually going to have her on Marvelous Mondays on the 28th of March, just as she returns from Peru from making her first delivery of clothes.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's called The Influencer, The Power of Change, The Power to Change Anything, and it's edited by several authors: Kerry Patterson, Joseph Grinney, David Maxfield, Ronald McMillan, and Al Switzer. Switzler. Anyway, fascinating book, and it talks about the power that one person has to change the behavior. I'll give you an example. Is there anybody calling in? Because I don't want to talk to myself. I'll tell you a story that's in this book that just fascinated me. As a gentleman in there who there was a phenomena that affected a population in southern Africa for generations, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It was an infection of the Guinea worm, and I can make this really quick. I won't make it long. The basic premise is the guinea worm came in through water into the human. Then it grew inside the human. When it was ready to go out, it laid its eggs and left. And unfortunately, this is a cyclical thing. And the way that you stop that is by stopping them from accessing that water. So all this man did was change their water source. When he changed their water source, the guinea worm died. There is no more infection of the guinea worm anymore because of what one man did. So just listening to Mallory's story, she can reach that point. I truly believe that she has the stamina, she has the drive, she has the desire to clothe the world. And I'm going to support her in doing that.
Well, that's fantastic. It's the same thing here. And that's another thing I like about what we have going on here, Jed, is the fact that with these three radio shows, we can really do a lot in supporting these people and their story by simply just sharing them as guests on each other's shows and expanding that audience for them. I did find on Amazon.com the link for the influencer, so I put that in the chat
that.
For everybody.
Cool. That's it. That's the book.
That's the book. So, but yeah, I think again, you know, I did my show today. I do a show Tuesdays called Rare Sense Thoughts for 15 minutes. It's just a quick little show that I do on Blog Talk Radio to give tips and techniques to live a fulfilling, balanced life. And one of the things I was talking about, I took it over from Monday night and talking about relationships and love and Valentine's Day and all that fun stuff. And you know, another way of just being extraordinary is going out and doing what you can every day to spread these things like love, peace, joy, harmony, you know, happiness. And it's so easy. I mean, one way of doing it is just when you're walking down the street, just smile at people. Okay? When you're walking through the mall, just smile at people. I mean, it's going to do one of two things. Number one, they're either going to smile back, or two, they're going to wonder what you're up to. So, you know.
But it also makes you feel better, too, though. It really
does. It
does
make you feel better.
You bet.
Yeah. And what's wrong with that?
Nah, not a thing. That's what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah,
yeah, you do get some funny looks. I walk across campus, and I think I think some of the people that I say hello to think I'm a little bit on the odd because nobody says hello to each other. And the birds are chirping, the sun's out, and it's a beautiful day, and I'm strolling through campus, and I'm going to say hello. It's kind of funny when you get the reaction you get, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it is. Well, and the thing about it is, did you ever do this one? It's really funny. Instead of saying, you notice a lot of times people say, how you doing, instead of hello?
Yeah.
You know? And if they really don't want to know how you're doing, they're
no,
not really
they
saying hello.
Yeah, right.
I'll catch people every once in a while. I'll say something like, I'll just say hello, and they'll go, I'm fine, how are you? Because they're so used to hearing how you doing that they don't even hear you say hello. It's like, oh, wait a second, you didn't ask me how I was doing. You just said hello. But here's a way of being extraordinary. Do this sometime. And I do this quite often. I'll be out somewhere and I'll walk up to somebody I've learned to ask permission first, though, but I'll go up and I say, may I give you a compliment? That right there usually sets people like off on the edge a little bit because it's like, wait a second, this guy just asked me if he'd give me a compliment? You know, but I'll do that and invariably, at least 99.9% of the time, people will say, well, sure. And then I'll compliment something about them, their hair, their outfit, whatever it might be. But it's another way, again, of changing somebody's day. And it's an extraordinary way of doing that because people don't go out of their way to do that. You know, and that's what makes it extraordinary because the ordinary thing would be to just walk by people, maybe give that cursive hello or the how you doing and not really caring what they're saying. But if you really just step up to somebody sometime and say, hey, may I give you a compliment? I really love the way your hair looks or I love that. You know, it really does set their day.
Well, I got a great idea. Let's turn Michael and Maria's show upside down. I'll just put a challenge out to everybody in the chat room. Why don't you do what Harry just suggested? Tomorrow, when you're walking by somebody, stop and pause. Smile at them. May I pay you a compliment? What wonderful smile you have. What wonderful eyes you have. What a beautiful day this is to share this environment with you, share this path with you, this sidewalk with you. Something as benign and as gentle as that, I challenge everybody in the chat room. I'm up. I'm going to do it tomorrow. What a great idea, Harry.
Who's raising your hand in the chat room? Laura
has. She says, I always do that. I wouldn't doubt that. Laura is a very friendly person. Way to go, Laura.
Way to go. Way to step up, Laura. It really makes a difference in the elevator. Yeah, it does.
Daniel says, doesn't it?
Sounds like some pickup lines. Well, okay. Anyway, but yeah, I want to give you something. This person that I'm going to give you though and talk about here is obviously an extraordinary person because she just the way she did. But I want to give you this little quote from Mother Teresa.
Mm.
What do you think? You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a great quote. It says, "Let no one come to you without leaving better and happier."
How powerful is that? That you could have just the slightest effect on someone, on someone's day, on someone's week, on someone's month, year, or life. You have no idea, and I know that everyone on this call has heard this before. You all are familiar with the butterfly effect. We know for a fact, categorically, that it is real. That whatever you put out there, that event can ripple across the universe and affect hundreds, thousands, millions. So you never know what a kind word could do or a kind gesture could do to someone. I know you've heard all the stories. They're real.
Oh, they are. And here's some other stuff. You know, it's not necessarily that you have to necessarily walk up to even any strangers tomorrow at work.
Yeah.
You know, compliment somebody on something that they did at work or something that maybe they helped you with. You know, a lot of times we take that stuff for granted as well, especially your administrative assistants, especially them. They are so much taken for granted. I can guarantee you, if you walk up to an administrative assistant somewhere and just thank them for something they did for you, you're going to make their day.
You know, I got to tell you a funny story, Harry. And to this day, I know that my competitors of the 27 years that I spent in medicine, the last 22 was in industry, the most important person in the office I called on was not the doctor. It was the receptionist.
Oh, yes.
I guarantee you that receptionist, male or female, made or broke my business. And I'll tell you what, the sooner you learn who the most important person is in an environment like that, well said, Harry. Thank you for saying that, because it's very, very true.
Well, there's just lots of those people out there who just don't get our thanks. And a simple thank you to them. You know, the people at the checkout line, whatever it is. You know, that situation, somebody that's working a retail position or working the night shift. The next time you drive through a drive-thru after midnight and they're there to be able to give you that hamburger, give them a big smile and a thank you for doing that. You know, I got some things. Daniel in the chat room saying, I'm a big advocate for going up to a stranger, making friends. People like to talk about themselves, so it's not hard to start up a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Laura said, once upon a time, I was going through the worst time ever, and I went out to get some things at the mall. Didn't change T-shirt. I really look like
crap.
You what she said on there, like crap. Then this guy just comes up to me and gives me these words. Do you have any idea how beautiful you are? Then off he vanishes. Oh, wow. That, yeah.
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 How did that make you feel, Laura? I bet you felt like a million bucks. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is these little things, you know. I swear I didn't see him at all later. Okay, that guy changed me like 100% from that point on. So,
yeah. Isn't that cool?
It doesn't have to, you know, it's great that people
great
like
story.
Like what he, and it's great what people like Angela are doing and Maria's doing. And you know, again, like you said, there's grand gestures. But, you know, it really is the small things, the little things that really make a difference in life and in other people's lives. Those small gestures go a long way to creating that world that we all want. So Jed, what else you want to talk about, my friend?
I don't know. How much time we got?
29 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's calling in. We're, you know, we really would love to have people call in and share their stories. That's what makes these shows wonderful. I'm not listening to Jed and I jabber about all the stuff
we're
talking about here.
Come on. Come on. I know there's a whole bunch of people out there in the chat room that want to talk.
There it is. Well, Jed, I do have a question for you. You ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready. Ready, pitch it.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
I love it. So, what's Christmas all about?
Well, you know, that's actually something I talked a little bit about on my show today. Again, we're talking about love and all that. I heard a couple people on Marvelous Mondays in the chat room were saying, well, you know, Valentine's Day is nothing more than this big commercialization of this, that, to sell cards and this. And you know something? I'm going to say this, Judge.
Mm.
What is wrong with a special day to spread love?
Nothing. We need more of them. We need more of them.
See, the thing about it is what I look at, just like Christmas. To me, Christmas is a celebration of love, a celebration of what you're grateful for. So it's Thanksgiving. I think Valentine's Day, the same thing. I think all these major holidays, if you really look at them, they're a way to remind us about the things in life that are important to us, and that's love and compassion and caring and what we're grateful for. And I have to say this. Yeah, you can sit there and you can complain and moan about everything that's being commercial, but then you're losing the point here. And the point here is we do have a day that reminds us of these things, and so that maybe, just maybe, the people out there that don't do this every day will start to figure that thing out. I mean, I realize that I don't need a special day like Valentine's Day to celebrate love, but maybe some people do. And it's not just the love that you have for a significant other. That's where that's the thing I heard. Well, I hate Valentine's Day because I don't have anybody to share it with. Are you kidding me? There's 6 billion people on this planet.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
love with them.
Yeah. Well, I'll hit the ball. You served it up. I'm going to hit it really hard. You know, it's really not difficult because I can guarantee you. In that class I was proctoring, the instructor asked tonight, the instructor asked the students in that class, how many in the class did not have a Valentine's Day yesterday? And I looked around, and there were 5 or 6 students who raised their hand. In other words, they were not acknowledged by anyone on this planet yesterday. And I found that to be very interesting, that there was an opportunity. It would have been so simple to have even given a loving gesture to a homeless individual on the street, or even someone. I mean, you're right, Harry. It's not difficult to do. And I'm just amazed. I was shocked, actually, to be honest with you, especially some youngsters, you know, 20-somethings.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fascinating to me that there is still a huge population of people who are unaffected by, well, no, they're actually very affected by, but they're indifferent in when it comes in regards to sharing love and sharing that information. So,
we're talking about being extraordinary. You want to be extraordinary?
Okay.
Spread love.
Okay.
Spread love.
Spread love.
In any way that you can, spread love. Figure out a way for you to spread love every single day. Okay? Because here's the beautiful thing about it. When you spread it, it's going to come back to you. When you spread it, it's going to come back to you. Okay? It's like a boomerang. And, you know, here's the other thing. If you were alone yesterday on Valentine's Day, then you should have been with somebody you love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just you. Okay? What did you do for yourself? And what have you done for yourself every day to love yourself?
Hang on. I'm going to give it a little note here to Dawn. Hang on a second. Keep talking, Harry.
No problem. So, you know, we're talking about extraordinary things, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't take big, huge feats to really be extraordinary. What that just means is that you're doing something out of the ordinary, something a little extra. And if that little extra is just something that's going to help somebody else have a good, great day, or yourself. So this is something I want to get into, and I always get into when I'm talking with people. Take care of you first. Because if you don't take care of you, you won't be there to be able to take care of anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So take that spa day. Take that day to go out and play golf or to read a book or take a new course or take a hike in the woods. I don't care what it is. Love yourself first and foremost so that you can truly love others. Okay? Then you can be extraordinary. Then you can go out there and do those things that are going to help people. And the more that you're of service, the more that you show that love to other people, it's going to come back to you. And the more it comes back to you, the better you're going to feel about it. So, you know, that's really...
Well,
there you go.
And I think, you really touched upon something that brings great value and great satisfaction to me personally is service in general, whether it be during holiday or whether it not. I mean, it doesn't have to be during a holiday season. It's convenient then because there's a bigger demand, and so it's real easy to find a place to go serve during a holiday period or a holiday time. Because there's a greater demand for it, but even in the off season when you wouldn't think that there's as much demand, middle of summer, let's say for example, and there's someone who is in need of a meal or a new pair of shoes, they're everywhere about us. If you just open our hearts and our minds and your eyes, you'll see that there are many, many, many people out there that can use our love. So share it freely.
Share it freely. Yeah, I saw in the chat there you and Dawn were kind of talking about the show and the link. Actually, he scheduled it for an hour and a half tonight. So
it's normally on for an hour and a half, and he just, I think he flows with it. If it feels like it, he cuts it off in an hour, even because he can shut the show off, whatever.
Right.
That's all
you can
good.
End the show at, you can end the show at any time. Just like
I got to tell you, Laura put a link in the chat room, everybody. Love Notes. Confidential.com. LoveNotesConfidential.com. So everybody, go to that link, and you'll get a Valentine every day. Isn't that cool?
There you go.
I think that's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you, Laura. That's very sweet of you. I checked it out, and I'm going to get me a love note every day.
Cool. Speaking of that, too, I heard somebody say, well, I didn't have anybody to buy a Valentine for. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, when I went and bought the Valentines for my wife, there was Valentines for your cousin, for your mother, for a friend, for a dad, for an uncle, for an aunt, for a grandmother. Don't tell me you didn't have somebody to buy a Valentine for. Seriously. You know?
Yeah, no, that's very true. There's tons of people to buy Valentines for. Those you know and those you don't know. You could take it to a neighbor that you haven't talked to for a while or don't know. Maybe there's somebody next door to you. You know, it's kind of funny. This thought just came to my mind. When I was a kid, now I don't even know if this organization still exists. But when I was a kid, there was an organization called Welcome Wagon, and when you moved into a new community, there was one or two people who would come with a basket welcoming you to the community. It was called Welcome Wagon, and they would show up at your door with some flowers and candies. And you know, I don't recall totally. The only thing I recall was a candy because I was a kid. But that kind of thing. My suspicions are that kind of thing doesn't happen. At least it doesn't happen in my community anymore, to my knowledge. But you know, you don't have to have a formal organization to do that. All you got to do is get up off your fanny and go do it. Right,
Jed.
Yeah.
Jed, Welcome Wagon ended in 1885.
No, it didn't because. Okay, Harry. Your point well taken. But it did not. Don't tell me that. Wait a minute.
You said that when you were a kid.
I know. Wait. I know. That was in my last life. That's right, Harry. It did. Oh, my goodness. I am recalling. I'm having a past life regression. You dirty dog. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you, Mr. Harry Shade. see? Everybody,
well,
he's sharing the love.
I am. Jed.
What?
You have a show tomorrow night, right?
I do.
Why don't you fill in everybody about what your show's on tomorrow night, what it's about?
Tomorrow night, this month is Healthy Initiative and Healthcare Month. We'll have several healthcare months coming from my background. But this month is Healthy Initiative Month, and I will be interviewing the director of the Returning Veterans Program. The Returning Veterans Program in Oregon is a special program, nonprofit program that offers medical and psychological, anything that has to do with healthcare to returning veterans and their families. And most of this stuff is all pro bono work. Everything that's donated by the physicians, whether they be a medical doctor, a nurse, a psychiatrist, they do a lot of things that the Veterans Administration will not pay for. For example, they won't, the vets won't pay for Reiki. The vets won't pay for some alternative healing in the area of emotional and stressful situations that some of these military people have been through. So, anyway, I'm going to be interviewing Belle. She's the director, and it's going to be a great show. There's a great need as we're made more aware every single day of the traumas that occur to our service people and their families. I mean, if you just put yourself in this situation, you were just freshly married, and your husband or wife immediately leaves for military service. I mean, you knew this, but you really didn't quite comprehend what that meant. that they were not going to be there with you. They're gone. And they won't come back for a year. Maybe a leave here and there, if you're lucky. And so it's a quite a traumatic situation for families. And so, anyway, that's the show. Tomorrow night is the Returning Veterans Program, nonprofit organization out of Portland, Oregon. I don't know if it's, to my knowledge, I don't believe that it is a, Jed, are you on a treadmill? No, I was running up and down the stairs, Laura, grabbing some wood for the wood stove. Am I out of breath?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, well, anyway, remember, I'm the old fart on this phone, on this call tonight.
Yeah.
Remember that?
1885, yeah.
1885, that's right. I'm going to spank Harry. But it's a great opportunity to share what's going on with our service personnel. Just in, real quickly as a side note, my nephew was part of a project at the University of Oregon. It was the first one of its kind in the nation, called The Telling. It was a play, a live play that's called The Telling. And it's all service personnel and or family of service personnel who had an opportunity to stand on stage and literally speak from their gut. It was orchestrated a little bit not in terms of the story that was being told, but in the choreography of how it was presented. Not the story. Nothing was edited. Nothing. Trust me, was edited. This is another example of how we can serve our service personnel that are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and from other places in the world that maybe are not as brutally. But anyway, that's what the show is all about.
All right. Well, we got actually a couple questions in the chat. They want us to answer. First one is from Laura. She says, how come you guys keep being so extraordinary? And my answer to that, Laura, is because it feels good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because it just feels good. It's energizing. It's empowering. That's my answer. Jed, what's your answer?
You know, I have to be honest. I'm gonna bare my soul here. I haven't always been very concerned about anything else but myself for a long, long time. And not too long ago, a couple of years ago, I woke up from what my mentors have been calling sleepwalking. I woke up from a sleepwalk, and I realized that in order for me to truly be happy in life, I had to begin to look outside of myself. And I don't mean that I don't care about myself. Not at all. I love myself very much. I'm very, very, very comfortable in my skin. But that I needed to begin looking as inward as I was looking in a positive way, I needed to begin looking outwardly as well. So I have to say that it's an extraordinary journey, and I am so, so blessed to be on this journey because I get to hang out with the Harry Shades of the world, the Phil Gornells of the world, the Michael McClary's, the Maria Diaginovani's. I get to hang out with some amazing people, and the people in the chat room, Laura and Terry and Dawn and Daniel, and I'm blessed. I'm truly blessed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, great. Well, and another question, Daniel says, not sure if this fits in with the topic, but it has to do with living an extraordinary life. I think that people want to be positive and upbeat each day. What can people do to remain positive while on the journey to their destination? You want to take that first, Jed?
Do that one more time. I was reading something else. No, Laura, I didn't forget you. I didn't forget Laura. She's like, She didn't hear me. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Repeat what you said.
What can people do to remain positive while on the journey to their destination?
Oh, well, that to me, that's real simple. It's the signature that I sign all my books with, and that is, is persist without exception. I honestly and truly, if you continue to persist without exception, there's no concern for deviation whatsoever. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to be the first one to say that sometimes I wake up in the morning and go, oh, my God, I've got to do this all over again. Okay. Well, so I go to my place and I go meditate and I go read and I go do my thing to rejuvenate me. I'm a spirit on a human experience, and I'm going to bound to have some issues from day to day, but for the most part, persist without exception.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very
good.
How
about you, Harry? How about you,
buddy? My answer to that is very simple. It's counter blessing. I think if you focus on what you're grateful for, the blessings in your life, and that's your focus every single day, it's very hard not to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's in a nutshell, that's it. I get up every
mm-hmm.
morning and I say thank you to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I just for everything that that I know that is wonderful in my life, and when I lay my head down at night, I do the same thing. A simple thank you to the universe, and I go right to sleep, and I sleep like a baby, and I wake up, and I'm positive, and rip-roaring and ready to go, because that's what I focus on. And I have so many more blessings than anything else that's what it is.
You know, it's funny that you said that, because there's this young lady at the university there where I'm currently working in my office, and she said, one day she walks up to me, she goes, how can you be so positive all the time? I don't get it. And it was precious. It's one of those looks like she was freaking serious. I mean, totally
mm-hmm.
serious. She like looking at me like, how? I mean, she was baffled. And I,
what was your answer?
Well, my answer was because what other way is there to be? What benefit do you have to walk around with your lip dragging on the ground?
Well, how's that working for you, right?
I mean, let's be honest about this. How much energy does it take for you to be angry, disappointed, bitter, sad, fearful, upset? How much energy does it take for you to be happy? I mean, it doesn't. Maybe the first couple days it might be kind of tough, but then it kind of wears on you, and it really gets kind of easy after a while. And then pretty soon, wow, I've been happy for a whole week. Maybe I could take it 2 weeks. Point is, it takes the same amount of energy. It really does. It's not that difficult. So, my vote's for being happy.
Yeah. Well, I'll piggyback on that a little bit. You know, the funny part is, you're right, it takes the same amount of energy. However, to be happy creates more energy. To be the opposite destroys energy.
Yes, sir. Well said.
So you're either going to create more of something good, or you're going to destroy the energy that you have and just get rid of it, and it's not going to be there. Why do you think you feel so drained?
Yeah.
You know, why do you feel like you have no energy? Well, because you're not creating energy, you're simply expending it. Where when you're happy and you're loving and you're kind and you're considerate and you're doing all those things, you're actually creating energy. The other thing that I would say to somebody, if they ask me that question, I've had people ask me that question, Jed, and I look at them, you know what my answer is? Because if they ask me, well, how can you be so happy all the time? I'll say, because I don't like the alternative.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, and that's very, very true.
Okay, and, I have a question.
And, yeah. Go ahead.
What happens with a person that feels they have no strong passion in them directing them to do something?
Jed? Interesting. Mm. Well, honestly, it's there. It truly is, and it's several things. One, if it's something, a path that you've been on a long while, say, I don't know, months, years, and you're still not sure, in my humble opinion, is that it's time to have someone else on that journey with you, a coach, a trainer, someone who might be able to bounce some other perspectives off. One of the key things to that answer is that we tend to not look at a full sphere completely around, and the answers to everything are all about us. They're all around us all the time. So it just means we may not be able to see it, and someone else may be able to bring that out in us. It's as simple as potentially just developing a friendly friendship with anyone and then having the opportunity to ask them. I don't know. What about you, Harry?
Well, it's an interesting question, the way it's framed, because what happens with a person that feels they have no strong passion in them directing them to do something? And, Don, I guess my answer to that is going to be, I guess it just depends on the person. If you have somebody that is a strong, you know, a person who's strong in and of themselves, basically, I mean, is they have good self-confidence and self-esteem. Maybe they just lost their passion for things. I think for them, what happens is that they go out and they seek what their passion is. They continue on some type of path to find out. Now, if you have somebody who's the opposite of that, that really, you know, really struggles in life and struggles with things and doesn't know who they are authentically, I think what happens is they find more and more roadblocks get in their way. They find more obstacles because that's what they're going to see. And so finding that path gets a little bit more challenging for them. And what I always, and I am a coach and I work with people on those things, and when I find somebody in either case, and they're struggling to find the passion inside themselves, we sit down and we talk a lot about what it is that they enjoy doing, what gets them excited, what provides energy to them. And, and the answers are in there. And it's something where I help them find the answer inside them that's already sitting there that maybe they just can't seem to get to. And so like Jed was saying, he's absolutely right, you know, when somebody's like that, it's best for them to find somebody that they can relate with and talk to. And it could be a coach, it could be a close friend, it could be a family, whatever works best for them. Sometimes that third party that doesn't really know them can really give them some answers, or not give them answers, but help them find those answers that they don't know are there. Well, Jed, we only have a minute, my friend. Did he close out the show in any particular way?
Let's get ready to roll. Oh, that was before. I'm sorry. No, just lots of kisses, lots of hugs, and thank you. And I think he technically plays, you know what? I think he plays the same thing as the intro. Whatever. Harry, guess what? It's our show tonight.
It's our show.
You can do what you can end it with it. You got control. You have the control.
Well,
so you can
go.
End it any way you want. I just want to say thank you for all of you that have stuck with us tonight. This has been a real special night. This is a birthday night for the Anything But Ordinary radio show. 1 year.
Yes, 1 year.
And I'm just privileged I'm just privileged to be a part of this show and the lives of all of those involved, and all of you in the chat room. I love you very much, and someday we're all going to have, it's kind of like Harry and Phil did. I'll make it real quick. They got to meet some of their Facebook friends this last summer, last fall, last spring, whenever it was. And I kind of hope that I get to do that sometime. I really am looking forward to the people that follow Michael and I and Harry. And I'm really looking forward to making those kind of connections, because the people that come back every day, day in and day out, week in, week out, are really important to me. So I love you, Harry.
Well, just like Phil does to me every, used to do to me on Monday nights, left me absolutely no time. Thanks, Jed.
Oh, that's terrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take care of yourself. We thank you for being here tonight. And like I say on my radio shows, I'll close it out this way. May you be blessed always and in always. Good night, everybody.